The Bible states in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 67, and then we'll be going to a familiar scripture in St. Luke chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 67. The Bible says, in the morning, thou shalt say, would to God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. Then the Bible declares in the book of Isaiah, chapter 48 and verse 22. Well, verse 21 says, amen. Well, let's just turn there and read it instead of quoting it. Verse chapter 48. Verse 22. It says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Then in the 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke's Gospel, a very familiar portion of Scripture there, here's what the Bible says, and we're all familiar with this. The Bible said in the 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke, and he said in verse 11, and a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I want to preach tonight on a spirit that's loose in our world tonight, and that is the spirit of restlessness. Never have we lived in a day when there has been so much unrest, so much dissatisfaction. Out of the church and even in the church, amen, there is much unrest. There is much dissatisfaction. The writer said in the book of Deuteronomy, and I read it in your hearing, that there would be a people who would say in the morning, I would to God it was evening. And then in the evening they'd say, I would to God it was morning. And the problem is this. There is a spirit of restlessness turned loose on this world, trying to get you and I away from the Father's house and away from the place where we can have peace. For the Bible said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. We are living in an hour whenever sometimes in the church, folks seem to be doing good. They're singing, they're shouting, they're rejoicing, and then all of a sudden it's as if some strange thing has gotten a hold of them, and they're restless, and they're dissatisfied, and it doesn't make any difference who's singing, or who's preaching, or what's going on in the church. That spirit of restlessness is trying to get you away from God's presence, for He knows as long as you stay in the presence of your Heavenly Father, He cannot put His hands upon you. So in the 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke, in the story that I read in your hearing, there are four mentioned characters. There is the father, there is two sons, and there is the unnamed citizen down in the far country. But there is also another character that is not named, but he is implied, and that is the devil. Satan must have been there. For the Bible tells us, amen, that this prodigal, as we call him, he was not born poor. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was born in the presence of the Father. Yes, he had servants, but he was not satisfied with what he had. And some of you were born right in the presence of the church, right in the midst of holiness, right in the midst of the Pentecostal fire. And still, you are not satisfied. Oh, hallelujah. I'm feeling like preaching, so hold on. After a while, the younger son made a request. And he asked his father, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And my Bible said he divided unto them, amen, his living. It seems that both sons received, amen, their inheritance at this time. And now they have the blessing. The younger son, the prodigal, has his blessing. But he is not happy. He is blessed, but restless. And the worst place you'll ever get in your Christian experience is to be blessed and restless in that blessed condition. Oh, you must hear me, young people, and older people as well. Amen. The devil will try to put a restless spirit upon you. He'll tell you the old-fashioned holiness church where they preach the word of God and sing and shout and rejoice. It's not for you. Amen. It's for, it goes back, amen, in another age, but in this modern day of technology, you need something more advanced. And if you're not careful, he'll put a restless spirit upon you. And even though you have been blessed in this house right here, he will try to get you out of this house. Oh, yes. Listen to me. You say, well, Brother Rich, are you sure we're restless? Well, look at it. We see small people, little children, and young teenagers trying to act grown and older. And then we see older people trying to act young and spry. We see skinny folks, like some of you, trying to put on weight. And then you see big guys like me and Brother Oakley here wishing we could take some off. I was in Bessemer, Alabama, preaching for Brother Roper. Now, there's your church with a name. You'll never find a church that I know of with any bigger name. The name of that church is New Jerusalem, Independent, Full Gospel, Holiness Baptist Church. But we were there preaching camp meeting, and we went down to this mall to walk, and we came by one of those gyms, those exercise place, and over here was a little old skinny guy, amen, sweating it out, trying to work up and put on some muscle and put on some weight. And on the machine right next to him was a big fat guy working, trying to take it off. Oh yes, listen to me, we've got black folks who are trying to straighten out their hair, amen, trying to iron it out and use hot irons to take the curl out of it. Then we got white folks kinking theirs up. All of this is saying there's a spirit of restlessness. Black folks bleaching out their skin and buying creams and lotions to try to get lighter and whiter. And then white folks laying in tanning salons and out on the beaches and laying under lights trying to get black and dark. It's all saying there is a spirit of restlessness. Amen. Those with long hair whacking it off and cutting it off. And some with short hair putting on wigs and acting like they have long hair. Working folks are disgusted with their jobs, quitting and striking. And then others with no jobs is trying to get one. Married people thinking, if I could just get rid of this one, I'd be happy. If I could just get rid of him, oh man, my life would just be happy if I could just get rid of him. And over here's a single girl saying, throw him right over here, baby. He's just what I've been looking for all of my life. All of it's saying there is a spirit of restlessness in this world. They pull up beside me when I stop at the light, and they got these big old boom boxes going, boom, 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 and vibrate my car, and they call it music. But you don't fool me. I know why the music is louder. I know why, amen, the sins are becoming more vile. I know why there is so much turmoil. Satan has put a spirit of restlessness. Amen. Some can't wait till the basketball season's over, amen, to start to baseball. And they can't wait till baseball season's over to start football. And it becomes just a vicious circle, restlessness. But one day at the foot of the cross, Jesus spoke peace to my soul. And it don't matter to me, amen, who is number one college basketball team or number one football team. A million years from now, 1,000 years from now, it'll not matter who was number one team, but it will matter if you have that deep settled peace down in your soul. Woo! Churches underneath the attack of restlessness. People trying this church for a while. Then they leave there and try another one for a while. And they leave that one and try another one for a while. It's all telling us that there's all kinds of changes and transitions taking place in the spiritual world. And when this spirit gets a hold of you, oh yes, you cannot be happy. Amen. The devil, if you're not careful, if you've been a member of this church 10 or 15, 20 years, he'll put a runaway spirit in you and try to get you out of the presence of the Father. For he knows that he cannot touch you as long as you stay where there's a pastor like Brother Collins, bringing in old-fashioned holiness preachers like Brother Rich, who likes to reach out and get a hold of your heart and squeeze it with the holy anointing of God. So the devil says, come on out. Come on out. The Father's restrictions. He's got too many restraints on you. What he's actually telling you, what he's trying to tell you, is if you'll come out here and play with me, I can get you hooked. But I can't quite reach you. Or he wants some of you to have a nervous breakdown. And he knows as long as you stay in the church where the Spirit of God is moving and where preachers are preaching the word and prayers want to be made, it's hard for him to play on your nerve strings when Jesus is making music on your heart strings. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, the devil is doing his best to put this restless spirit upon you. So this restless spirit begins to entice the prodigal. Come on, come on. You got your blessing. You've got your inheritance. You're too far away. Come on a little closer. Oh, the devil wants you to get so close, he can smell your perfume and cologne. And he's getting over there where he can reach you. Come on, come on. And not long after, this restless spirit went out with the prodigal. And he probably got to thinking, now there's a lot of things that I'd like to do that my father won't let me do as long as I stay here in his presence. I've been wanting to get me one of them unisex haircuts. I've been wanting to put a necklace around my neck and an earring in my ear. Get me one of them flowery Hawaiian shirts and some of them alligator skin or lizard skin cowboy boots. And as long as I stay here in this house, my father's not going to let me do all that stuff. And so I think I'll just go. His restrictions are too close and too tight. Listen to me. There may be some right here tonight, amen, who would like to be doing some things that you're not doing, all because of the restraints of this church. You ought to thank God for a church that has some restraints in it. You ought to thank God for the preacher that gets up and says, thus saith the word of the Lord. You ought to thank God for the old-fashioned evangelist that tells you to stay in the church and stay in the altar and stay where there's prayer and stay where there's singing in the Spirit. Oh, now listen. There are some things some of you may have been wanting to do for a long time. But you know, as long as you stay here, you can't do them. So the devil says, there's a liberal church right on down the road. And if you go down there, oh, you ladies can clip and flip and snip. Woo! Y'all might well help me. You knew I was a holiness preacher when I walked up here tonight. I've been preaching just like this for 40 years. Listen. Listen to me. Now, I know some of you won't agree with me. But you can be blessed for a while and still out of the presence of the Father's house. The prodigal had his blessing. And he carried it out of his father's house with him. And people don't just lose out all at once. Oh no. You can be blessed for a while and be out of the will of God. Once you have spent time in the presence of the Father, you don't lose all of that inheritance in just a moment's time. Even though you're gone astray in the midnight hour, you'll still feel a tug at your heart. You'll turn on a radio or a cassette player and hear an old gospel song, and you'll still feel a tug at your soul. But the farther you go away from the Father's house, amen, the farther you get away from the convicting power of the Spirit. So he's got his inheritance with him. But as long as he was at the Father's house, the Father was sustaining him. But now he's spending his own substance. Did you notice that? Now he's spending his own substance. It was a father that was keeping him in good character. It was a father that was keeping him in good company. It was a father that was keeping him from getting involved in things he should not be involved in. But now he's spending his substance. How long do you think you can retain your integrity and keep yourself from degrading sins out of the presence of the Father. It won't take you long to spin your substance out of the presence of the Father. I'm so glad, listen to me, I'm so glad, amen, that the Father is taking care of all of my needs. And as long as I stay in the presence of my Father, He's going to sustain me. But nothing makes me stay here. Amen. I can walk out tonight and say, here, Brother Oakley, there's several notes in that Bible. You take them and preach them. I'm leaving here. How long do you think I can remain a sanctified vessel out there on my own? It wouldn't be long until I'd be enticed into gross sins. And so the prodigal, he started spending his substance. Please notice the Bible said he wasted his substance with riotous living. It did not say he wasted his money, but he wasted his substance. If it had not said substance, some folks would have thought the only thing you lose when you meddle with sin and play with the devil is money. Let me tell you something. When you play with the devil, you lose something more valuable than money. You start losing substance. You can get money back, but it's hard to get substance back. Once you sell out your character, young lady, once you sell out your virginity, young man, once you sell out your virginity, it's hard to ever get back that great position with God and get that guilt rolled off from you. Why don't you say amen? You know you're preaching. You know I'm preaching right, and I know I'm preaching right. Hallelujah. The elder sons accused him of spending his substance with the harlots. Hallelujah. Many, many, many today that I knew, as long as they stayed in God's house, brother, they were able to retain their integrity. That does not mean they didn't stumble. That does not mean that they didn't make a few mistakes, but they kept seating themselves at the Father's table. They kept coming into the presence of the Father. Hey, listen, I don't worry about people who are faithful to God's house, who keep singing and worshiping and getting behind the preacher and saying, amen, preach it, Brother Rich, preach it. But I worry about those that start missing the house of the Lord. You're spending your substance. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, you can recover cars. You can recover houses. You can recover jobs. But substance is hard to get back. That's why I tell all the young preachers, no matter if your mark is not too high, keep your record straight. Keep your name clean. No matter if it takes you humbling yourself down, amen, every day at the altar, keep your record straight. Oh, you say, well, I know there's forgiveness. Sure, there's forgiveness. But it's hard to ever regain substance. And if you don't believe it, read the account of King David. Brother, he never did get all of his substance back. Forgiven, yes. Amen. In heaven, yes. Restored to the kingdom, yes. But brother, he lost substance that will never be recovered. So I'm advising, how many are saved here tonight? Let's see your hands. Well, I'm advising everybody that's saved to stay with God. The Bible said when he had spent all. That tells me that kink in his hair, he got it that unisex barbershop had come out. Mm-hmm. That gold chain around his neck had made a green circle around it. Earring had pulled through the lobe of his ear. That Hawaiian shirt had done faded out. Them alligator boots had got all skin up and the soles was wore out of. He had spent all. Oh, when a man spends all, he's in a bad shape. But he had spent all. Oh, he was in a position, amen, that David said God's people should have never been in. There arose a mighty famine, the Bible said, and he began to be in want. But David said in 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There he is. hungry, desperate, all of his money and substance is gone. There was nothing left for him to do but go join himself to a citizen of that country. If you want to know how low folks have really sunk, just look who they joined up with. Hey, even though he was away from the Father's house, even though he was in a far country, even though he was spending his substance, he still had his identity up until this point. But now he loses his identity and joins himself to a citizen of that country. There are some people that one time shouted, one time was full of the Holy Ghost, one time spake in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But they went so far away from God and they joined up with the wrong crowd. You cannot tell that they know anything or ever knew anything about the Father. It is sad. So sad. So he joined himself to a citizen of that country. So now he's unequally yoked together with someone. He's got an unlawful connection. Here is a Jew connected to a Gentile. Oh, yes. Listen. You better be careful what you join up with. And I want you to hear me right now. You better be careful what you join up with, because you may not get loose as easily as you think you can. Oh, say, well, that won't hurt me to listen to a few rock and roll records. You better be careful what you join up with. Oh, it won't hurt me to listen to a little bit of country and western. Won't hurt me to be a little friendly with this woman or this man. Be careful what you hook up with, what you join up with. Amen. He hooks up with an unnamed citizen and they send him into his fields to feed the swine. And there he is out there, mud between his toes. And the only one to lay down with was filthy swine, filthy, dirty hogs. And I'm sure the devil is saying, look what I've accomplished. I got the king's son all the way out of the palace. I got him all the way down here in this far country. I've got him down here feeding the hogs. Y'all are still with me, aren't you? Say, oh, I know y'all have heard this preached lots of time, but let me preach it one more time. Amen. I brought the king's son to the hog pen. Here comes the king's son with slop buckets surrounded by dirty, stinking hogs. And the devil says, all right, take one more step. Just one more step and I'll have you where I want you. You haven't quite reached there yet. You haven't quite got happiness. I'm looking for a wastebasket or something like that. A wastebasket around here handy. Amen. I can see him. Amen. Here he comes with that slop bucket under his arm. Hallelujah. Saying, woo, piggy, 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 piggy. Feeding the hogs. Devil said, yeah, I got him right where I want him. I've almost got him there. There's one other step. You thought you'd find happiness and you haven't found it yet, but if you'll take this one more step, you'll be happy. Look at the husk. The devil was trying to get him to enter into perversion. For it would be a perverted lifestyle for a human being to get down on his all fours and eat husk like swine. The devil says, come on, one more step and you'll be happy. The husk is looking good to you now. Isn't it strange when people leave the presence of the Lord, the things that they utterly detested just 6 months ago, the things they condemned others for doing a year ago, they're now involved in it theirself. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Hell starts clapping, I'm sure. And the demons start cheering. He's just about to take that final step. He's just about to try to satisfy a self-inflicted hunger with an illegitimate source of food. A perverted lifestyle. Demons are rejoicing. The devil said, come on. Come on, you're almost there. Smoke that joint. Take it one more shot. Go ahead and take that needle. Amen. Try marijuana. Cigarettes hadn't made you happy, but if you'll try this, you'll be happy. Come on, take that step. One more step. One more step. Almost. Almost. I don't know about you. I thank God for the sins He forgive me of. But I thank Him for keeping me from the things that I almost got involved in. Oh, I know you're like me. You're not going to tell nobody what you almost did. Amen. That's right. But oh, I just thank God for restraining me from taking that final step. Almost. Almost. And here He is. Here He is. Right there. Just ready to take that final step over into that perverted lifestyle. And all of a sudden, the Father's house sweeps through his mind. And he comes to himself. And he said, I will arise and go to my Father. And he throws down the salt bucket. And he gets up and crawls out of the hog pen and says, I'm going back home. I know I've sinned against my Father. And I know I've sinned against heaven. But I'm going to go back in the presence of my Father. Even if he makes me a hired servant. They have bread enough and to spare. And I'm down here perishing with hunger. I will go back. Hear what I'm telling you. If you're here tonight and you are a backslider, no matter how deep in sin you go, you'll never find that which satisfies out in sin. It's only when you're seated in the presence of the Heavenly Father will you find the thing your soul is longing for. The wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up dirt and mire. When I pastored a church in Norman, Oklahoma, I had a man that worked at the OU University that attended my church regularly. One morning I was at the church praying. On Sunday morning he called me and he said, Brother Rich, he said, Professor Douglas is coming to church with me this morning. Well, that's good. Who'd you say? A professor, Douglas. He teaches a class of 250 students in Greek. And he's coming to Don Rich's church? I said, yeah, he's coming. I said, that's not only that. I said, he's one of the most respected professors here at the university. Said he began to tell me all those degrees that he had, that he's a world traveler and studied anthropology and a couple other apologies that I must apologize for because I can't remember what they were. Amen. And said he's going to be with us. Then I got scared because the Lord had put on my heart to preach that morning on the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up dirt and mire. There is no rest, saith my God, to the wicked. So I thought, Lord, I better try to get something else. In came the professor. In came Brother Johnson. Went back and he introduced me to this professor. Oh man, I'm nervous. I mean, I'm going to really have to watch my grammar. I can't get up and sing songs like he ain't never done me nothing but good. I got to watch my grammar. I mean, Greek. You know, if he'd just been, you know, teaching some kind of vocation, but teaching Greek, brother, that's something else. 250 students in a Greek class. So I kept wondering what's going to happen. You know, Brother Orville Hunt, he got and talked a lesson that morning, did a pretty good job. And then here, I was thumbing through my Bible thinking, now what could I preach that might impress this man? And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I've already given you your message. You get up and preach on the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up dirt and mire. That's the spirit of restlessness that's on this world. So when preaching time came, I got in that pulpit And I forgot about the professor sitting back there. And I started preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I got to preaching my message on how the sea keeps coming in. Waves keep roaring in. They go out. They come in. They cast up dirt and mire. And I said, the wicked are just like that. The remembrances of their sins, the remembrances of their past, it's like the waves of the sea lashing at the seashore. I preached. When I gave the altar call, to my surprise, the first person that rose to their feet weeping was a professor. And he came down the aisle. He came into the altar and he prayed over an hour, weeping and crying. We prayed with him. We sought God with him. Amen. After a while, I said, how do you feel, professor? He said, I'm feeling good. He stood up and said, I want to tell this congregation something. He said, I have never heard words like I heard this morning. Said, this man described the feelings inside my breast. Hey, that's why we've got to preach the word. That's why we've got to preach the Bible. He said, it was like a troubled sea inside my breast. But he said, now there is a great calm. Oh, listen, the most serenity, the most happiness you'll ever have, it's not when you make more money. It's not when you get a better job or a bigger house or a finer car. It'll be when there is peace, wonderful peace, deep settled peace down in your heart. The next Sunday, the professor brought his wife, and she got saved. They were Episcopalians. He asked me, he said, what do you have to do to join this church? I said, you've already did it. The morning you repented at that altar, you joined this one. And your wife's joined this morning. He said, well, we're going to go back down to our church, Episcopalian church, and tell them to take our name off the books down there. And as long as I stayed there, I got to preach to the professor right there every week. You don't have to be ashamed of this. I said, you don't have to be ashamed of this. He helped me sometimes with words. And what is a Greek? You know, he's good. Helped me with it a lot. But listen to me. His wife passed away. She belonged to several sorority clubs. She was in high society with the elite. And she died. And the professor came to me and said, Reverend Rich, will you preach my wife's funeral? He said, I'm having the staff. So we'll have 6 professors for pallbearers, 6 more professors as honorary pallbearers, and as many of the staff as we can to get into this funeral chapel. But I want you to preach it. I count it an honor. I counted it an honor. So I went to the pulpit and I preached on the pearl of great price. And I told how this woman had searched through her life, joined the church of another denomination, joined nearly every social club in Norman, Oklahoma, belonged to every sorority and all those little what's all them little letters stand for, you know? Joined all of that stuff. But I said one night she came out over here on the corner at 502 East Sims and she found the pearl of great price. Hey, listen, folks. Amen. You say, if I just had more money, I'd be happy. If what you got doesn't make you happy, what makes you think you'd be happy if you had more of the same? Why keep reaching for more? You're not happy with what you got. More of the same won't make you happy. Say, if I just had a new boyfriend, new girlfriend, if I could get rid of that old white-headed man. Woo! Help me while I preach just a little while longer. Listen to me. I want to tell you tonight, that there was a day in my life when I was so restless. I had my own business. I had everything working good for me. But I was restless. But one night I walked into a little Assembly of God church about 44 years ago. The old fashioned preacher was preaching holiness. They preached it back then, brother. Amen. He is preaching holiness. I walked down that aisle, and when I got up, I said, "Devil, cancel my reservations in hell. I'm not coming to hell. I'm heaven bound." Hey, I started out running over 40 years ago. I can't say I haven't made some mistakes, but I never have looked back, and I'm still running tonight. I'm on my way. Hey, the world can't give you happiness. No, no, no. Play the music loud. Get the biggest boombox in Cincinnati area. Turn it up as high as you can, and there'll still be something in your soul when you lay down at night that's restless. Only Jesus can speak peace to your heart. Get a song. A few years ago, I was in Mexico. We saw a Mexican man coming down the railroad track. Church set right by the railroad track. No shoes on. Pants rolled up almost to the knee. Walking barefooted. As he drew closer, he was singing a song. I recognized the melody of the song, but I couldn't put it together. So I asked my interpreter, "What is that song that Mexican man singing?" My interpreter said, "Oh, Brother Rich, you know that song." Said he's singing, "Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from my Father above." Oh, it didn't matter whether he was barefooted or not. Down inside, there was a peace. And whenever you hear that this old white-headed man's voices went silent, and I'm no longer able to come to the pulpit, and I lie in a box in front of some church or in some chapel, just remember, if I've got Jesus in my life, I still have peace. My family may be in a turmoil. Amen. People may be weeping and crying, but I'm going to be at peace for Jesus. I said, "Jesus, He is the Prince of Peace, and He lives in my heart." Would you stand with me? Hey, preacher. Don't let that restless spirit get a hold of you. Don't let it get a hold of you. It's divided homes. Man can have a good wife. He can have a good family. A good bed to sleep in. A good car to drive and a good job. But that spirit gets a hold of him. And he gets restless. That's what happened, brother. I don't know those people. As far as I know, I've never seen them. But I believe I can tell you what happened. That man walked off from a marriage he'd been in 23 years. A spirit got a hold of him. A restless spirit. Now let me tell you something, playboy. If women could make you happy, Solomon would have been happy. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Take him almost 3 years to get around to every woman if he spent one night with one. Different one every night. But listen to me. How is it, Solomon? He wrote, "It's all vanity and vexation of the spirit." Well, what's your message for Hamilton, Ohio, and Highway of Holiness Tabernacle? What's your answer to this people? He says, "Let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter." That means to sum in the total. Let us hear it all. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Oh. Hallelujah. Boy, my preacher come tonight, and I can't hardly get him to settle down so I can give us all a call. Oh, I love it when my preacher makes it here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, I love to preach to my Choco Indians. We started service over one night, 8 o'clock, when Leon and I was over a few months ago. We ended up at 6 o'clock the next morning. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Leon preached 3 times that night, and I preached once. Long. Oh, this preacher, he brings peace to you. He brings peace to you. If you don't have it tonight, you can have it. Young lady, if you don't have peace, the Lord wants to give you peace. He can speak peace to your troubled heart. When there's a turmoil in your life, that's when you turn it over to Jesus. If you don't know what to do with your life, don't run off to some psychologist.